Would you play the music, Wilmer? Thank you. So that's a really catchy song. And if you were a kid in the 80s like I was, you were probably dancing to it and learning the words. Honestly, I have no idea what George Michael has faith in. But he really seems to believe that his faith has power, right? He's just got to have faith. And that idea that we have to have faith is a powerful idea in the culture around us, and it's a really powerful idea in the Christian culture as well. Many of us wish we had a little more faith. Many of us think that if we had more faith, then things would be a little better. We wonder if we have enough faith or if our faith is strong enough. So let's leave George Michael behind and look at someone with a little more faith than he has, and maybe a little more faith than you and I. We've been talking about Abraham for several weeks. And I'm sure for most of you, it's not the first time you've heard his story. So what's the first thing you think of, what the first characteristic you think of when you think of Abraham? For me, it's faith. Some of you know that my mother's family is Jewish, which makes me a Jew, and Jews see Abraham actually as the founder of our faith. And my father's family is from a very small Christian denomination that you probably haven't heard of that's called the Church of God of the Abrahamic Faith. Now, it's not just my family that talks about Abraham as faith. The New Testament writers made sure of this as well. In Galatians 3, Paul says, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Know then that it is those of faith who are the sons of Abraham. So then, those who are of faith are blessed, along with Abraham, the man of faith. In Hebrews chapter 6, for when God made a promise to Abraham, since he had no one greater by whom to swear, he swore by himself, saying, surely I will bless you and multiply you. And thus Abraham, having patiently waited, obtained the promise. Abraham patiently waiting for God to fulfill his promise is the measure of his faith. And then there's a section in Hebrews 11, often called the Hall of Faith, where the writer talks about the stories of Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, and Sarah. And Abraham gets the biggest piece of that passage. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he, Abraham, was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God's. Until recently, however, I never really explored this famous faith of Abraham's. What is his faith? What is it like? And do I need it? How do I become as faithful as Abraham, if that is the goal? So let's look a little bit deeper. And I'm going to ask Jonathan to join me to read Genesis 20. Thanks.
So this is from the New International Version. Now Abraham moved on from there into the region of the Negev and lived between Kadesh and Shur. For a while he stayed in Gerar, and then Abraham said of his wife Sarah, she is my sister. Then Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent for Sarah and took her. But God came to Abimelech in a dream one night and said to him, You are as good as dead, because the woman you have taken, she is a married woman. Now Abimelech had not gone near her, so he said, Lord, will you destroy an innocent nation? Did he not say to me, she is my sister? And didn't she also say, he is my brother? I have done this with a clear conscience and clean hands. Then God said to him in the dream, yes, I know you did this with a clear conscience, and so I have kept you from sinning against me. That is why I did not let you touch her. Now return the man's wife, for he is a prophet, and he will pray for you, and you will live. But if you do not return her, you may be sure that you and all yours will die. Early the next morning, Abimelech summoned all his officials, and when he told them all that had happened, they were very much afraid. Then Abimelech called Abraham and said, what have you done to us? How have I wronged you that you have brought such great guilt upon me and my kingdom? You have done things to me that should not be done. And Abimelech asked Abraham, what was your reason for doing this? Abraham replied, I said to myself, there is surely no fear of God in this place, and they will kill me because of my wife. Besides, she really is my sister, the daughter of my father, though not of my mother, and she became my wife. And when God had me wander from my father's household, I said to her, this is how you can show your love to me. Everywhere we go, save me. He is my brother. Then Abimelech brought sheep and cattle and male and female slaves and gave them to Abraham, and he returned Sarah his wife to him. And Abimelech said, my land is before you. Live wherever you like. To Sarah he said, I am giving your brother 1,000 shekels of silver. This is to cover the offense against you before all who are with you. You are completely vindicated. Then Abraham prayed to God, and God healed Abimelech and his wife and his slave girls so that they could have children again. For the Lord had closed up every womb in Abimelech's household because of Abraham's wife, Sarah.
Thank you. So that's kind of a strange story about Abraham's faith. Let's get in a little more detail what happened in this story. Okay, so as he has been for many years, Abraham is living in a new place, this time a place called Gerar, and Sarah catches the attention of the king of Gerar, a man named Abimelech. Rather than declaring that Sarah is his wife, Abraham says that she is his presumably unmarried sister, and Abimelech takes her as his own wife. Of course, this does not fit God's plan, because God has already promised Abraham that he and Sarah are going to be the parents of innumerable descendants together. So God tells Abimelech to give her back. And Abimelech believes God and is actually quite upset and afraid when God tells him in a dream what's really going on. So God tells Abimelech what to do, and Abimelech obeys immediately. Abraham justifies himself saying, I did it because I thought there is no fear of God in this place, and they will kill me because of my wife. Besides, it's kind of true. She's really my half-sister. It's interesting that Abraham thought there was no fear of God in that place, because clearly when God spoke to Abimelech, Abimelech and all of his men were very much afraid and responded immediately with obedience to God. So Abimelech returns Sarah along with 1,000 pieces of silver, sheep, oxen, male and female servants, and gives him a free pass to dwell in his land, because Abimelech feels bad about having done something wrong, even though Abraham was the one who lied to him in the first place. And then God reopens the wombs of all of the women in Abimelech's household, making it clear that if Abimelech had not obeyed God and had gone through with Abraham's plan, it would have been the end of Abimelech's kingdom, and his whole line would have died out. So Abraham lied about Sarah because he was afraid, and also because he's still living in his old way from before the covenant and before the promises God gave him. As Abraham explained to Abimelech, this is the way they've been doing it all along since they first got married. They made a deal when they first got married that every place they went, they would lie about their relationship. Other than being a lie, what else is the problem with this? And what does that have to do with Abraham's faith? Well, maybe Abraham is just learning faith step by step. He will learn from this mistake and become more faithful. Maybe faith is a characteristic of age that we can gain through wisdom and experience. And Abraham at this point is about 110, 120 years old. And also, he made the same mistake back in Genesis 12. We're in chapter 20 now, so chapter 12 is a little way back. Back in Genesis 12, there was a famine in the land, so Abraham went down to Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was severe. When he was about to enter Egypt, he said to Sarai, his wife, so it's Sarai, it's before the covenant in the new names, "I know that you are a woman beautiful in appearance, and when the Egyptians see you, they will say, 'That is his wife,' then they will kill me, but they will let you live. Say you are my sister, that it may go well with me because of you, and that my life may be spared for your sake." When Abraham entered Egypt, the Egyptians saw that this woman was very beautiful, and when the princes of Pharaoh saw her, they praised her to Pharaoh, and the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house. And for her sake, Pharaoh dealt well with Abraham. He had sheep, oxen, male donkeys, male servants, female donkeys, and camels. But the Lord afflicted Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abram's wife. So Pharaoh called Abram and said, "What is this you have done to me? Why did you not tell me she was your wife? Why did you say she is my sister so that I took her for my wife? Now then, here is your wife. Take her and go." And Pharaoh gave men orders concerning him, and they sent him away with his wife and all that he had. So Abraham does not seem to be learning from this mistake. He seems to be making exactly the same mistake he's made before. And maybe another problem from a faith perspective is that in between those two stories, in chapter 17, God has specifically and very recently promised Abraham that the promise to Abraham is going to be fulfilled through Sarah. That Abraham and Sarah are the ones who are going to have descendants. You might remember the Hagar story. That was another mistake. It's through Sarah that the promise will be fulfilled, and God has said that to him very clearly. And since Sarah doesn't have the children yet, Abraham can't die at this point in the story. God's promise hasn't come true yet. But Abraham is still afraid, and he lies because of it. So whose faith are we really talking about? I think we're talking about God's faith. I think we're talking about God's faith to Abraham. God's promise was never conditional on Abraham's faith in the first place. There's an interesting scene a few chapters back where God actually gives Abraham the covenant. You might not know that the way a covenant ceremony worked in those days was two kings or two powerful people would make a covenant together. They would do it by sacrificing animals, cutting the animals in half, and walking between the animals together, symbolizing that the covenant was binding on both of them, and if either of them were to violate their promise, then it should be done to him what was done to those animals that were cut in half as part of the covenant ceremony. When God did the covenant ceremony with Abraham, he did it a little differently. He asked Abraham to cut all the animals in half and lay them out in the right way. Then God put Abraham to sleep. And God, by himself, passed through the animals that had been cut in half. It was only God who had to make the promise. The promise was from God to Abraham, not the other way around. Now, I'm not knocking Abraham. Abraham does have some amazing acts of faith, some really inspiring acts of faith, like leaving home to follow God's promise in the first place, going to an unknown land, which is what Galatians and Hebrews talk about. Like, in the next chapter in Genesis 22, his obedience to the command to actually sacrifice his own son, Isaac, which is an extraordinary level of faith. So, Abraham really is a hero of faith, but not every time, not every day, not in every situation. There are moments in his life, really important moments, when he trusts God and he relies on God to do things that most people wouldn't do. And there are other moments where he slips and he stumbles, some of them falling into his own old patterns of sin. Anyone else here ever have a lapse of faith? I loved your prayer a minute ago to strengthen your faith. It takes faith to pray that prayer, but it also takes a knowledge that we don't have sometimes all the faith we wish we had. And that's I think that's all of us. You go back to Adam and Eve in the garden. And the serpent said to Eve, "Did God really say that?" And she has a little lapse of faith and isn't quite sure. And Adam joins her in that little lapse of faith. And that, you know, that lapse of faith from Adam and Eve, who walked with God every day in the garden, opened the door for the original sin. So maybe none of us have quite enough faith. So then what? So does faith really matter? And faith seems kind of connected with obedience. How does that matter? So I would say, yes, it does matter. It matters because it has consequences, because our actions and our choices have consequences. In these stories, Abraham's lack of faith and his lapses of faith had serious consequences for him and for others. Back in Genesis 12, just very briefly in passing, it says terrible plagues were visited on the Egyptians. No details, I don't know what the plagues were, but the consequence of Abraham's lack of faith and his lie to the Pharaoh was terrible plagues visited on the Egyptians. In this passage, God closed up the wombs of all the women in Abimelech's household, which is a serious consequence, again, for others. In Genesis 16, which Pastor Andrew preached a few weeks ago, a consequence of Abraham's lack of faith was the Hagar story and the birth of Ishmael and the division of Abraham's household. I could go on, and you could probably think of examples in your own life, times when your lack of faith had consequences for you, for your family, for people you love. Sin often has both immediate consequences and far-reaching consequences, and it hurts the people we love. But if there's one thing you remember from today's conversation, it's that the consequence of sin is never the loss of God's promise. Because God's faithfulness transcends our failures and our weaknesses and our doubts. When God makes a promise, he keeps it. It's not conditional on anything. It's not conditional on our faith. Your disobedience or mine cannot thwart God's plan. Abraham's disobedience could not thwart God's plan. So what does it have to do with us? We are included in God's promise to Abraham. It's a promise to us too. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 7, Paul says, "Know then that it is those of faith who are the sons of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, 'In you shall all nations be blessed.' So those who are of faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith." And further in the same chapter, verse 27, "For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is no male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ's, then you, are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise." Whose promise? God's promise. So like Abraham's, our salvation is secure. God's promise is not changed by our errors or even our lack of faith. Our errors can have consequences, serious consequences, as Abraham did. We could damage relationships and families. We can suffer and we can cause those we love to suffer. And the more we strengthen our faith through spiritual discipline, the less prone to error we become. This is called sanctification. It's a process the Holy Spirit carries on in us for our benefit, and it's a process in which we can participate or we can choose to resist. Practices like regular prayer, regularly reading the Bible, spending time in fellowship with other Christians, and of course, regular church attendance can help us strengthen our faith, which is a benefit to ourselves and our families and our communities. But our salvation is not a consequence of our ongoing or constant faith. We don't lose our salvation if we struggle with faith or if we commit errors. Our salvation, our inclusion in the promise that God made to Abraham, is a consequence of his faithfulness, not of ours. God made the promise, and he will keep it no matter what. No human error can thwart God's plan. I'm a big fan of faith, but if there's one thing I want you to take away from this morning, it's that your salvation is not by the strength of your own faith, but by God's. Like a father might say to his son, and I have 2 5-year-old boys, we can do this the hard way or the easy way. It'd be easier if you obey, but God is going to keep his promises. And so Abraham is called the man of faith in Galatians and Hebrews, and he is, but it's not because he had perfect faith or because he had some superhuman ability or a stronger ability than ours to trust God amidst all the circumstances of his life. It's because God's faithfulness to Abraham transcended and covered his errors, just as it does with us. And thus we can also, because we are also included in God's amazing promise, we can also be heroes of faith. And living in that perfect faith, God's faith, far stronger than our own, transforms our lives here and hereafter. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your promise to Abraham and for including us in that promise. Thank you for your infinite and awe-inspiring faith to keep your promise without regard to whether we deserve it or reciprocate it. Thank you that it is not by our own faithfulness that we are saved, for we are far inadequate, but by your incredible mercy. In the words of Romans 5, you showed your love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. As we go out into the world later today, please help us to live in the light of your all-surpassing faith, filled with the joy of our sure salvation. And though we may be weak, please strengthen our faith day by day so that we have enough faith to make the choices that align to your will. We know that your promises will always be fulfilled, and we pray that we may be your faithful workers as you advance the kingdom of your Son, Jesus Christ. It is in his name we pray. Amen.